have fears of being stuck for different things. You may not know this, but Heather is afraid of being stuck in this church. Not because of you guys, but we have this elevator on the youth side entrance that's about 45 years old, and even though we get it certified and we get it checked out every single year and get certified that it's good for another year, she does not want to get in that thing alone. She does not want to get stuck there. She does not want to get stuck in an airport, so she does not fly anywhere that has a layover on the way to see the girls. If it's Allegiant Airlines and goes to Clearwater, she's good. She'll go straight through, but if it's on Southwest and it goes through St. Louis, Chicago, or Denver, I'm going with her. She's not going to get stuck in an airport all by herself. A few years back, I had an international trip to Kenya. I was supposed to go on British Airways and end up in London and then to Kenya. And through a mishap, I ended up on Qatar Airlines, and for 6 hours, I spent in Qatar in the Middle East. And that would have been her worst nightmare for that to have happened. Now, not to just pick on her, I have my own fears. I have this fear of going with Heather and the girls and going to Kansas City and getting stuck in an IKEA store. Anybody else have that same fear, getting stuck like you're never going to get out of there? Now, I know being stuck is funny until it isn't. It's funny until it isn't. This is just lighthearted in what I'm sharing, but when you're really stuck, it feels more like this. When you're stuck in a hole and you don't feel like you can climb out of it, we all know what it's like to be stuck. We've all been there. Some of you, you know, memories are coming to your mind of feeling stuck. And the reality today is for some of us, maybe many of us, it's not a memory. It's you feel stuck today. What am I talking about? There's a lot of ways that we get stuck. I came up with a lot of these myself, but then I searched the internet and Google. This is just a small fraction of ways that we get stuck. This is just a small fraction, from finances to feeling stuck by our debt, a marriage conflict, or post-divorce, and we feel stuck there, or feel stuck in our loss that we've experienced, or parental wounds, toxic relationships, lust, pornography, sexual sin, past abuse, guilt, shame, condemnation, and the list just continues to go on. Anxiety, fear, and a lot of these, honestly, are not external. They begin internal. And where this series is going for the next 3 weeks that I want to, or 4 weeks that I want to invite you back to, that we're just setting up the framework today of this series, but a lot of what we're going to talk about over the next 4 weeks is really what is not external, but what is internal. What I call the mind and the mouth and the heart. And we get stuck. I mean, we get stuck up here. I mean, I think one of the greatest battles that we all fight, that I know I fight in my life, is the battle between my ears. Not other people, not other things, but just what I call stinking thinking. And it can start getting momentum, and it can start to snowball. And the next thing you know, fear is the dark room where negatives develop. And you start painting this picture that's not even there, but you can paint yourself into that picture really quick just through the mind. I think our mouth can be a place that we tell lies to ourselves and say and speak lies to other people that are not true, that do not align with God's word, do not align with the truth of what he says and who we are. And so our mouth is, it's a powerful thing. There's power in the words that we speak. And then there's the heart. And who knows the heart except God himself? Even we don't fully know the heart. And yet the heart can lead to a dark and dangerous, destructive path that can lead us to a place where we feel stuck. And that's where we're going for the next 4 weeks as we continue on in this series. I'm both excited about it and also recognize it's not the fun things that we love to talk about, but the good news is, and what I want to share with you today as we enter this week and go into the next 4 weeks, is it's not God's plan for us to be stuck. It's not God's plan for his people. It's not God's plan for his children. It's not God's plan for you. It's not good God's plan for me. He doesn't want us to be stuck. He wants us to follow him to real freedom. And he's come to give us that freedom, and that's where we're heading in the next several weeks. And I just want to tell you, it's a theme all throughout Scripture. It is it is the Scripture. It is the Word that reminds us of what God came to do. God freed Joseph from prison to save a nation. God freed Israel from slavery to lead them into the Promised Land. God freed them from Babylon and exile to rebuild what was stolen, what was broken. God freed Israel from fear of the Philistines through his servant David. Jesus, in the story that he tells of freeing the prodigal son from shame and restoring his identity. Jesus freed the woman caught in adultery from her condemnation that she was stuck in. Jesus freed Zacchaeus from isolation. Jesus freed Mary Magdalene from demonic oppression and demonic possession. Jesus freed the Apostle Paul, who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. He freed him from religion, and he freed him from legalism. There's many different things, but God has called his children into freedom, and God's plan for us is to be free, and all of these things, all through Scripture, points to the greatest freedom of all, that freedom that is found in Christ. Galatians 5:1 says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free." Now, there's a few places in the Scripture, from Jesus' words, from those who gave testimony like Paul, that tells us what Jesus' mission. Jesus had some mission statements. You know, Jesus is the one that said, "I have come to seek and save that which was lost." He's come to reclaim that which was lost. Paul says it in this way: "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free." Why did Christ come? Why did he die on the cross? Because he wants to set his children free. He wants to set his kids free. We believe that we have this loving heavenly Father. And if you have a good earthly father or mother, you know this. They want their kids to experience joy, love, peace. They want them to experience the best. And we have a heavenly Father that if our earthly fathers want good things for us, Scripture says, how much more does our heavenly Father want good gifts for his children? He wants us to have the good gift of being free, of not being in slavery, of not being in bondage. It was his mission, his plan, his purpose for coming is to set us free and to seek and save that which was lost. And many times, we didn't know we were lost until we were convicted or until the Holy Spirit revealed to us that we were lost. And we didn't have freedom. And we didn't have peace. Christ came for the purpose of setting us free. John 8:36 says, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This was meant to be our inheritance as God's kids. You know, we want to leave the best good inheritance to our kids. We want to. My parents have always said to my sister and I, "You'll never have anything to fight over because we don't have anything to leave you." So we don't have to worry about that. But I know this. My parents are the most generous people, and they give in so many ways to Heather and I and to my sister and brother-in-law and our family. I mean, they're just generous people. I know they want good for us. We all want to leave good gifts. We want to leave a good inheritance. We want good for our children. How much more does our Heavenly Father want us to claim his inheritance as kids of his, as children of God? He wants us to reclaim and have our rightful inheritance. He wants us to be free. Do you remember growing up? I said this in the first service. Guys, we probably remember this more than some of the ladies remember this, unless you have a bulldog of a lady. But most of us guys, this is a guy thing. When we would say to one another out on the playground, "My dad could beat your dad up." Anybody else besides me say that? I mean, my dad wasn't looking for a fight, but I mean, I've been there when you're cornered into a hole and it's like, "My dad can beat your dad up." That was a position of standing. That was a position of relationship. That was a position of protection. It was like, I know my dad, and my dad has my back. How much more so does our Heavenly Father have our back, want to protect us, want good things for us, wants to set us free, wants us to be free indeed through that relationship, through that proximity of being close to Him. 2 Corinthians says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom is found in being in that connected relationship and being in that presence. And you knew that if your earthly father or dad was close, you knew that he was going to have your back. And there was something about being in His presence that you felt safe and you felt protected. There is protection and the safety when we know that where the Spirit of the Lord is, where His presence is, even in the midst of the storm, even in the midst of trials, even in the midst of setbacks. It's the presence of God that brings us His peace, that brings us His freedom. And it's there's another theme in Scripture. He did it not just to free us from something, but God did it to free us for something. Jesus didn't die just to free us from sin. He freed us for something. He freed us for a purpose. He freed us from slavery. He freed the Israelites from slavery so they could enter the promised land, so they could get back to their purpose. And our purpose is to worship Him. He frees us from fear so that we can move towards faith. He frees us from sin so that we can move towards holiness. He died so that we could have something for us, not just to be saved something from. He has something more for us than just to save us from our sin. He wants to save us so that we can be preserved for something better, so that we can use for His purpose, because we were made on purpose for a purpose. And sometimes we lose sight of that because we get lost in the cycle of sin that God wants to set us free from. And it doesn't mean perfection or we'll be perfect, but God wants to do more than just forgive you of your sins. He wants to help you be able to live a life that pursues holiness and wholeness. I say it this way: Jesus doesn't want to just forgive us. He wants to free us. He doesn't want you just to survive and get by. He wants you to thrive in your relationship with Him and in your standing in the kingdom of God in this world. Yes, He wants to forgive us. But even more so, He has a purpose for forgiving us, because He wants us to move into a place of freedom. He wants us to live. Do we believe this or do we not? That Jesus said, I have come to give you life and life to the full. Or your translation may say, and life more abundantly. God wants us to have the abundant life, the full life. That is not a Western culture, name it, claim it, prosperity gospel, follow Jesus, get the car, get the girl, get the house. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a peace that only God can give. We're talking about a hope that is only found in Him. We're talking about a love that can only be experienced in the presence of Christ our Savior. Jesus doesn't want you just to forgive you, but He wants to free you. And yet so many Christians, so many believers, we're forgiven, but we're living in slavery. We're forgiven, but we're living in bondage. We're no different than Israel and the Israelites, who were delivered with Moses leading them out of the hand of the bondage of the 400 years they had with the Egyptians. And you would think they would just have gone straight on to the promised land. But they found themselves in their own minds, in their own heads. It wasn't Egypt that was holding them back anymore. It was them not trusting God that was holding them back. And they spent the next 40 years wandering in the wilderness. And sometimes we find ourselves, God's forgiven us, He saved us, and yet we're still wandering in the wilderness because we're not allowing God to free us and to live the life that He's called us to live, to free us into this place, and we get stuck. And just because we're saved doesn't mean we can't be stuck. God has so much more for us. We have to learn to walk in the Spirit, as Galatians 5:1-16 says, for it is freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. So I say, walk by the Spirit. This is a day-by-day thing. Every day I have an option, we have an option, you have an option of whether we're going to walk in the flesh and in our own power, or whether we're going to submit ourselves and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. And actually, it's not just a day-by-day thing. It is a not an hour-by-hour thing. It is oftentimes a minute, moment-by-moment thing of whether we're going to walk in the flesh and live by our own power and our own strength, our own control, our own trust, or whether we're going to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. And my prayer for us as we go into this journey for the next several weeks, this is my prayer, this is my hope, this is my desire as your pastor for you and for me, that we will step into new places of freedom, that we will step into ground that God has claimed for us, but that we have not stepped into the promise. We have not stepped into our promised land because we're staying held back. We're letting our control. I mean, I struggle with this probably more than anybody else in this room. A lot of guys struggle with this too. Is I like to fix things. I like to be in control. There's something about, Heather and I will go drive on a long trip. I'll drive all the way to Florida and back, and she may not even touch the wheel. And I may get tired. But the moment that she gets in the driver's seat and I'm in the passenger seat, I am wide awake. It is like I'm healed and I'm fixed and I'm ready to drive again. And she's a great driver. I have issues. Some of us guys, we have issues. And ladies, we have it too. It's just in different ways. And I gave a funny example, but we like to be in control. And following Jesus, following God, following the Holy Spirit is really about giving God control, allowing Him to lead, allowing Him to be in the driver's seat. And this is not a message series about trying harder. I told the first service, you didn't come today to hear a message about 26 ways to be free in 2026. We're not looking to add to your plate. In fact, I believe God's wanting to take something from us. This is not about trying harder. This is not about self-help. The power I'm talking about is not self-generated, it's Son-generated. It's Holy Spirit-generated. This is something if we can't attain on our own. This is not by your power, it's by the Holy Spirit's power in you and through you. And it's allowing more of the Holy Spirit into our life, getting in control, because we kind of have all these compartments in our life and some are easier to give up than others. And there's some things in our life we're like, okay, God, you can have that. You can have that. That's good. I trust you with that. Sure, I trust you with this. I'm doing just fine right here. And we can get stuck, and we can get lost, and we can miss out on the freedom that God has for us. This is not about, you know, us being in more control. It's about relinquishing. In fact, this is my prayer for us. This year and this series, Psalm 46:10, very familiar to many of you. In fact, I have a plaque of this. You may have a plaque of this in your home, in your office, that says, "Be still and know that I am God." I've known this scripture for years. I've heard many messages on this. Either I wasn't listening or somehow it eluded me. But for years, I struggled with this verse because when I looked at this verse, all I could got hung up on was be still. I'm good with the and know that I'm God. That's what we're all doing. We want to know God. We're seeking to follow God. We want to know Him better. And to do that, it says be still. And so for me, for years and years and years, that meant that I had to go find some hole in my house, some room in my closet, and I had to get alone and maybe have some, you know, Zen moment. And I had to be still. And if there is one thing, well, there's a lot of things that I'm not good at. You hear that all the time. But if there's one thing I am not good at, this isn't one of them. Now, Heather might argue a little bit of that when I can be lazy and tired and, you know, just wanting to get in the couch. She's probably telling me about that tomorrow, tonight. It's just, really? You just laid on the couch the other day all day long.
I was sick.
Okay? I'm not talking about that. This is my message, not hers. Be still. For years, I thought that was like, okay, God, okay. All right, I want to, this is my goal. I want to know you, God. I want to know you better. So you said to be still. So, okay, I'm going to find that little closet. I'm going to take my Bible with me, maybe a journal. And I'm going to be still. And I would just focus on just being still. And I might even set a goal, like I'm going to do this for an hour. I'm just going to be still. And at the end of that hour, man, am I going to know he's God. I couldn't make it 5 minutes. I'm not good at being still. I struggled with this. And I'm like, this verse is obviously for other people, not for me. Until I learned what be still really means. Be still in the original Hebrew does not mean lock up, don't move a muscle. Be still means let go. Be still means stop. It literally means let go of what you're holding on to. Not do another thing. Not add to the to-do list. Let go. That list I showed earlier was just a fraction. You probably had maybe something else, but I have a feeling for all of us, something popped into our mind that you're holding on to, that you're just comfortable with. Honestly, there's seasons in my life and I was just comfortable with being resentful. I was more comfortable not forgiving the person than letting go and saying, vengeance is mine, God, it's yours, it doesn't belong to me, it's yours. It was just more comfortable for me to hold on to that. And I felt by letting go of that, I was releasing that person of their consequence or their responsibility, or I was letting them off the hook. And God was saying all along, if you'll just get this, Kent, you're not letting them off the hook. You trust them with me. You're letting yourself off the hook. When you let go, I'm setting you free so that they can't control that space in your mind anymore. And you're just, but it's so easy to get comfortable. That's just one example. There's many other things. And you saw all those examples. I don't know what yours is. But our inclination, our natural desire is to hold on to it. I had to put tape on this because last time this just shattered into many pieces. Our inclination is to hold on. Even if it's dysfunctional, even if it doesn't make sense, it's what we know and it's what we're comfortable with. And God says, I love you, I've forgiven you, you know, but man, I want so much more for you. Man, if you'll just let this go, you're going to be free. The Hebrew word be still literally means let go. Let go what you're holding on to. Cease striving. Stop fighting. Surrender. Give up. Give it to God. Let him. Then you can know. It's like turning that fight over to your earthly dad and saying, Dad showed up. He didn't show up for a fight, but you told him he could beat this other guy's dad. That never happened, but I mean, when we let go, we're saying, God, this is your battle. The battle belongs to the Lord, is what Scripture says. The battle is not ours, but we like to hold on to these battles. We like to control these battles. There's something about it. We feel like if we're holding on to it, at least we can have some control of what the outcome is. And God is saying, hey, I want so much more than just to save you. I want to free you. And so my prayer and my hope in this season, in these next 4 weeks, in this year, is not right now to add something for you to do. And some of you, honestly, it's like, I'd rather you give me 26 things I need to do in 2026 than let go. It's easier to have a to-do list than it is to let go. It's a hard thing to do, but when we do, we begin. And my prayer is that this year, you, me, us, we will walk into new places of freedom. Doesn't mean we'll be perfect. Doesn't mean we get there all in one day. And it might take, you know, hopefully not 40 years like the Israelites. But yes, they came out of Egypt. I equate that to we've been forgiven. We've been forgiven of our sins. We've been placed back in right standing with God. But they didn't trust God. They got out of Egypt, but they held on to Egypt. In fact, sometimes they wanted to go back to Egypt. And sometimes we want to go back to Egypt because it's easier to go there. And God's saying, hey, I don't want you to be here. And he doesn't want us to be in the wilderness for 40 years. But a lot of that depends on us letting go. So I'm praying for you and for me and for us that we will experience new levels of freedom this year. Because it's what God desires for us. It's what he wants from us. And you may be saying, I just don't know how to make that happen. You don't know how big this thing is in my life. And I don't. I don't know how big that thing is. I don't understand what it means for you. But I do know this. Our God is bigger than that thing. Our God died for that thing. Our God sent his son for that so you would not be in slavery and bondage, but he wants to set you free. And so now we begin this journey of unstuck. And I have four things that I want us to do today. And one of those things is not to do anything. Well, kind of. First thing I want to invite you to do is we're starting this series. I want to invite you to come back for the next 4 weeks as we seek God and his presence, the Holy Spirit, to help us get unstuck in our mind, help us get unstuck in our heart, in the lies that we tell ourselves, the lies that we may say about others that don't align with the truth of God's word. That's a battle that's too important. We can't afford to lose, but we can't win it on our own. It's something that the Holy Spirit has to do within us. I want to encourage us to do this journey together for the next 4 weeks. Then you have these cards in front of you. No, that was not a mistake. You looked at the other side. That's probably what you did. Anybody pick it over? Oh, it's on the wrong side. You turned it over. Nope, it's blank. There's a reason for that. What I want us to do with that today, our response, and as I told the first service, I'm not trying to come between any marriage. I know that we're supposed to share everything. Heather and I share everything. But this is you and God right now. And I pray that your spouse will just allow you to have a you and God moment right now so that you can be honest with God and honest with yourself and you can write where you feel stuck, where you're stuck. And be honest. God knows our heart. He knows everything about us. You can't hide anything from him, even if you do something else. You might write down, you know what, I struggle with faith. I don't know if I believe all this. In fact, I'm more suspicious of it than I am belief, but I struggle with faith, or I struggle with forgiveness, or I struggle with an addiction, I struggle with pornography, I struggle with lust, I struggle with unforgiveness, I struggle with anxiety, I struggle with depression. And you don't have to leave here going, okay, I got the answers. You're going to walk out of here and go, nailed it. That's not the point. What we want you and want us to receive in this is it's that letting go, to be still and say, God, I don't understand all this. I feel more comfortable it being in my hands and me having the steering wheel, but I'm going to be still and I'm going to let go. I'm going to cease striving. I'm not asking you to go out there and climb a mountain this week. What I'm asking you to do today is to give it to God and say, God, this is yours. And you might be Thomas going, man, this, I don't know that, you know, this, I have a lot of doubts about this. That's okay. Thomas was a doubter. God's shoulders are big enough. It doesn't matter what you throw at him today. He's not surprised. He's not disappointed. But I do believe he wants to lead you into new places of freedom this year. But that beginning journey is just to name what those things are and then fold that up where no one sees it. You're not writing your name on this. We don't want to see any names on this. If you need to talk about it, you can come talk to us. But this is just, we're going to have a moment, like kind of like we do communion in a moment, where we sing a song. I've asked Pastor Dustin and the worship team to sing a song of freedom. It's a song of celebration. And my prayer today is that we take that first step. And as you can see, there's many cards at this altar from the first service. And you're just going to, you're going to let go. You're not signing up for anything. You're not fixing it today. You're just saying, God, I don't even know if I have the faith to believe that you're going to help me with this. But today, I know I just want to give this to you. That's the first thing. We're going to do that in a few moments. Second thing is this, is I believe we're meant for community. And I believe we truly are stronger together. That's the way God wired us. That's the way God made us. Man is not meant to be alone. We're meant for community. We're meant for the church. And I love it that we're in here in rows on Sunday, but it's even better when we get in circles. That we just started a financial piece this last Wednesday. There's about 15 people that came to financial piece. You know what they're doing? They're letting go. They're sitting and saying, here's the start, but we're going to do this in community because there's something about doing it together. There's something about getting stronger and doing this with other people. And so I want to invite you, if you're not in a life group that will be starting up in a few weeks, I want to invite you to do what 236 of us did last fall. I want to encourage you to sign up for our next Rooted and let Pastor Nate, it's a step of faith, but let Pastor Nate help you get into a Rooted group and test the tires and go on a 10-week journey to get you rooted in a place that can lead you to a greater places of freedom. You can do that. There's a QR codes on the way out the doors each week. You can do that. You can get online. You can get to our hub. You can do it that way. The last thing is this, is there was this devotional that in October, I was with a man, a friend, and we were having coffee together, and he's going through a really hard time. And it was near the end of October, and he's just sharing life with me, and he was sharing this devotional that he had done in the month of October. And it was called Moving from Stuck to Unstuck by this Jennifer Maggio. And the Bible app has all sorts of great devotionals and things like that you can do. And Heather and I have our own devotional plan, but this is an easy 5-6 minutes a day, something to add to a part of it, supplement what you already have, or maybe just something you're not doing. But this is not a to-do list or to do something. This is, I believe God wants to free us. And I believe his word wants to speak to us. And so when this friend of mine told me about this devotional that he had been doing for 30 days, and he said, I'm thinking about doing it again. I said, hey, I'll join you. Let's do it together. And so November, we did it together, and there was, you can even share this. I mean, you hit the QR code, it's going to take you to that, or you can go to the Bible app later, and you can just look from moving from stuck to unstuck. And we were actually able to send notes to each other. You don't have to do that, but if there's someone that you want to share notes in that journey with. And so all of November, we did this. And God began to stir in my heart and my life that what does God want for our people this next year? Where does he want to move us as a church, as Inspired Church? Where does he want our young people to go? Where does he want our young marrieds to go? Where does he want our senior adults to go? Where does God want us to go as a people, as a church this year? And through this devotional, just begin to be impressed upon my heart and my mind. Share this with others. Don't keep it to yourself, because so many, I believe, are forgiven. They've been forgiven of their sins. They're a child of God, but they're still stuck, and they're still living in slavery. They're still living in bondage. And my prayer and my hope and my goal for our people this year is that we will step into new places of freedom, that we will allow God to set us free from some things we never thought he would set us free. And it's not about your power. It's about the Holy Spirit's power working through you. But here's just a simple devotional. It'll take you 5 or 6 minutes a day. So it's just another option. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do the Rooted. You don't have to do any of it. This is where you feel the Lord's impressing upon you. I just thought these were some things, but the greatest thing I think we can do today is not to add a to-do list, but to let something go. So I'm going to invite you to stand. Our worship team is going to come in a few moments when we sing, just like communion. And you don't have to. I'm not trying to manipulate anybody that doesn't want to do this into doing this. You're not a bad person if you don't do this. But if you want to, like many did the first service, this is just a place to symbolically leave it at the feet of Jesus, whatever that is, and ask him to help us. Now, the greatest freedom comes when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, when he comes into our lives and frees us and forgives us of sin. That's the greatest thing that we can do. So each and every week, we pray a prayer of invitation, giving you that opportunity. We're going to pray this prayer together today. If you'll follow along on the screen, this is the simple prayer. Adam, Lord, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, that he gave his life to forgive my sins and was raised from the grave to give me life. I receive your grace by faith. Come into my life. I will follow you. Amen. Amen. Maybe if you prayed for that prayer and you believed it and it's your first time, you just might want to put giving up control. Giving, you may just write sin. You might, whatever it may be, follow Jesus. We're going to do that as we sing this song. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. We commit this time of worship to you. And Lord, I pray, Lord, this would be a step for many of us to move towards the freedom you want for us. In Jesus' name, amen.